Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
One of the more interesting moments in the DNC's presentation last night, Thursday, last night of the convention, as everything is finished up and they sent all the delegates home to do something, which was basically the instruction that they were given by many speakers. If you want to, you know, theme for the night, okay, obviously the big design for the evening on Thursday was to demonstrate that Kamala Harris is presidential, that she is capable, that she has all of the right character traits, and that you can feel safe voting for her, especially as the alternative to Trump. Because Trump is the demon child, Trump is the horrible one, he is all the bad things you can ever imagine about anybody all wrapped into one. He wants to ruin America, he wants to implement Project 2025, he's everything you could possibly imagine is a negative. The Democratic Party and Kamala Harris and Tim Walz in particular are everything the opposite of that. You can trust them, they're good people, they're likable, they're responsible, they're smart, and really, a theme that we heard again and again and again was that the Democrats are patriotic, that they love this country, as Adam Kinzinger, a former Republican, gets up there to say. And I'll tell you, sitting in the audience, I had a lot of reactions through the entire convention last night. And one was, it was a lot of boring. There were not a lot of very, very good speeches yesterday. You know, we've been talking throughout the week about the speeches that have been actually quite good. And I've said it many times, but I thought that Barack Obama was very good. Michelle Obama was outstanding, maybe the best speech of the convention. Oprah Winfrey was very, very compelling, and the crowd loved her. What you got yesterday was a weird mix of indifferent-ish reactions from the crowd, and I'm kind of trying to judge their enthusiasm for the people by how they're reacting to it, with, I don't know, people who just didn't have a lot to say. Now, my theory going into this was, this is Kamala Harris's chance to prove that she's not any of the things that people like me or that Republicans or that analysts have been worried that she is, because she has not. You know, she's doing teleprompter speeches, but she's not debating. She's not yet not doing media interviews. And so we're left with what we know of her from other experiences, seeing her, for example, in the Supreme Court hearings or seeing her on the, you know, stage from way back when she ran for president, you know, 5 years ago or whatever. And we haven't seen a lot of her other than, you know, rallies and memories, basically. And so we're trying to find out, you know, who is she really? And, of course, we didn't get a lot of different from that last night because what we got was one teleprompter speech. But what we were trying to do was figure out, you know, who is she? And I thought, my theory going into this was, I don't think she's going to be spectacular. And you can't afford to have her stand side by side, speech-wise, with people who were spectacular. So why was Michelle Obama on Tuesday night? Because you don't dare put Michelle Obama in front of Kamala Harris, because side by side, every single person would be like, well, can't we have the other one? You know, can't we get that one instead? So you put her on Tuesday, and you put her husband on Tuesday, and you take, you know, if you're going to have Oprah Winfrey, I mean, that's great. That's a get. That's a surprise. but you better not put her right in front of Kamala Harris, because, you know, try to imagine if they had finished yesterday with first Michelle Obama and then Oprah Winfrey and then Kamala, you would have been like massive buyer's remorse. So you don't want to make the candidate look bad by putting too many great people in front. And what I said to Bobby when we were talking about the rundown for yesterday's speakers is, where are the big hits? Where are the big players? Where are the cool speeches? Where are the awesome, we're like, yeah, man, I want to hear that. And we were both like, okay, well, there's Gretchen Whitmer. I mean, she's waiting in the wings. You don't have Gavin Newsom. Didn't appear anywhere. I don't think he was in the whole week. I mean,
he was in the whole week.
Yeah, unless we just, because we weren't there the whole time. You know, there were a lot of times when we weren't there for speeches. It's a lot of stuff to be there for. But, you know, they're bringing out like Leon Panetta. Yeah. You know, Leon Panetta was Secretary of Defense for Obama. You know, and before that, he had worked in the Clinton administration. Mm-hmm. And they're bringing out Leon Panetta. And I'm thinking, dig deep for boring? You know, like, what is going on? And he's talking about, you know, killing Osama bin Laden.
They have an active Republican who kind of identifies as an independent now. Three speakers before your nominee.
Weird strategy. Unless your goal is to, A, by comparison, make Kamala look good by hiding away all the star talent so they don't make her, you know, overshadow her. And B, if your goal is maybe something a little different, not so much reaching the people in the room and getting them excited, which they were, but reaching the people in the living rooms through the television and saying something to them about, we're not who you think we are.
Yeah,
and the big, and the big, message. We're not who you think we are is, we love this country, we're patriotic, as Adam Kinzinger.
Yes. Some have questioned why I've taken the stand I have. The answer is really simple, ladies and gentlemen. We must put country first.
And I know it's a little unreliable to read crowd reaction by what the clips are, because I've said this many times, in the room it can be different. On a 10 scale, if Michelle Obama and Oprah Winfrey are 10s, it was like a 3. Or 4. It was not enthusiastic.
Tepid.
Yeah. And there was a lot of that last night. But, you know, think of it that way. And then think of the kinds of things that got big applause from Kamala Harris. I mean, listen, the speech by Kamala Harris, I thought, went through three phases. Phase one is, oh, my God, she's finally here. But that was not, oh, my God, she's finally here. It was, oh, my God, she's finally here. It's a 7. Okay. It was a 7. And then the more she talked, the more it was...
They fell asleep.
Yeah. They were not excited. I mean, the video warm-up to the crowd, they were all just sitting in their seats, holding their Kamala placards.
Chatter.
Waiting. I mean, they were not paying attention. They were not watching it. This was the big intro, right? She didn't get an intro from I mean, she had her sister, but her sister came before Cooper. And then, you know, they had this video, and by the time they get to her, it's kind of a, well, is she coming?
Please welcome the Democratic...
I mean, it was by the announcer voice. Mm-hmm. You know, it was weird.
Please welcome the Democratic nominee for president, Vice President of the United States of America, Kamala Harris.
I mean, the Beyonce was more enthusiastic about it. and so... You had this. They just weren't. I don't know. There was something weird about the atmosphere at that time. And I'm telling you, we saw speeches that were electric. We saw speeches. Kerry Washington got bigger applause, by far, than Kamala Harris did coming in. So you have
the
Kamala
actress.
Harris. Yeah, the actress, right? Who was kind of like the MC for the night. You know, every day they have an actor, actress, MC, and so she comes in and she talks. And before she talks, you had this, I don't know, weird moment where. It's almost like the programming was, now be sure to show them you're patriotic to all the delegates. They were very much on message. Everybody had these organized placards at what time to hold them up. Okay, you're going to hold up the waltz signs at this time, and you're going to hold up the vote signs at this time, which is good. I mean, that's organized. That's something that the Republicans did not do. But what you had for the Republican convention was this, like, unquenchable enthusiasm that kept bursting in onto the program, where the delegates were just going crazy, and they'd let them go crazy for 3 minutes. And then, you know, they start chanting, and they chant USA, USA, USA. And, you know, it's just, it was very organic with the Democrats. It felt staged to me. It felt weirdly artificial, like even this. Yeah, we got to get to some business. You know, you can stop with the USA chants now. And it just, like I said, it was like that. So then she goes into talking about her family and her life and her mom and all of that. And, yeah, it's fine. I mean, it was odd just spending so much time talking about that. Because, I actually turned to Bobby at one point and like, what are we doing here? She's like, just doing her autobiography. It's odd. But I guess, you know, get to know me. If you don't know me, because a lot of people don't know her. She's only...
So many Americans don't.
Yeah, one half a term as a senator, and then she starts running for president, and then she gets the vice presidential nomination. And, you know, for being a black woman, obviously, Joe Biden picked with that in mind, put her in the vice president, and we haven't seen her since. You know, and she was supposed to do the border. She didn't do that. And we just, you know, she's been around, apparently. And now, all of a sudden, they're unveiling the new shiny pony, and hoping that people believe it's a new shiny pony because they can't do Biden anymore. And so here she is. And it's just odd. And then she goes through this whole, the second section was worse. The second section where she's talking about kind of policy and kind of Trump's wicked and Project 25 and everything else was just kind of, again, boring. And the crowd was yelling, but it's the difference between yay and oh. And I'm telling you, at the many other parts of the DNC and at other certainly parts of the RNC, there was a lot of that, oh, energy, not during her speech. Finally, at the very end, I think it came around for her. She finally got big roars for the end of the speech.
Trump, on the other hand, threatened to abandon NATO. He encouraged Putin to invade our allies.
But those boos are muted.
And Russia could, quote, do whatever the hell they want.
And it seems like we're supposed to boo.
Yeah, we got a boo here.
5 days attacked Ukraine, I met with President Zelensky to warn him about Russia's plan to invade. I helped mobilize a global response, over 50 countries, to defend against Putin's aggression. And as president, I will stand strong with Ukraine and our NATO ally.
Now, this was genuinely loud. This was one of the louder moments of this. There was actually a weird loud moment coming. But the reason I'm talking so much about crowd reaction is because in my, like, going into this, I thought the goal for the Democrats was to present well to the people at home, to not overshadow Kamala with prior speeches to make people think about how she's not the rock star, and just to give the delegates what they want and reassure them, and to remind everybody, or to try to convince everybody that Kamala Harris, even if you don't know who she is, she can be super presidential, and she's the anti-Trump, right? That was the goal. I didn't feel like that got done. She did well. She didn't goof up any major parts. There was a couple of stumbles, what I think was teleprompter issues, but I don't know for sure. It wasn't noticeable. It wasn't a big deal. It was a fairly well-delivered teleprompter speech. It just wasn't thrilling, wasn't exciting. I'm watching this as I'm not a Democrat, obviously, but you and I have no problem giving somebody credit for, man, that hit with the crowd. And Bobby and I kept talking about, man, that didn't work. That didn't work. That didn't work. Now, there had been worse moments previously in the day when the sheriff got up. Oh, man, that was a tactical mistake. Mm. This is a sheriff that supports Kamala Harris from Michigan, from Flint. And the crowd for him was... well, less than indifferent. I mean, they were.
I didn't think about it until we got home last night with the Adam Kinzinger thing going. Why would you have the Republican and
nobody in the Democrat world?
Nobody in the world. I mean, he's somebody that he sided with the Democrats. He was on the January 6th committee and everything. And his thanks, they redistricted him.
He's not even in Congress anymore.
Yeah, that was his thing. So, like, why would you do this? And then It was somebody else who actually mentioned, well, it's probably because it was prime time and they wanted a Republican on prime time.
They wanted a turncoat. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, guys, they're more patriotic than we said so, you know, than what you might think. And then I started thinking about the rest of them, like the sheriff. And I'm like, okay, the sheriff was, you have no idea. If you were not there, you have no idea how bad it bombed.
Here, let me see if I can grab a clip. Just we're out of time.
Bad.
We got to take a break. But this is the reaction for the sheriff.
Think of how if
a sheriff shows up on the RNC stage, lose their minds.
Yeah.
People just, oh my God, we are going to love law enforcement. And it doesn't even matter who he is. He's got a uniform.
He can literally be getting up there and going, we need to take a 5-minute break for security to check.
There's Cokes in the back, you know, nothing.
Please welcome Genesee County, Michigan Sheriff Chris Swanson.
That's a one.
If that.
It's like a one half. And it continued like that throughout the thing. And so it was weird.
Yeah.
And
then I realized, wait a minute, that's not for the people
there.
That's
for at home.
That's for home. That's for the independents. That's for Republicans who are thinking, I cannot vote Democrat. Are you kidding me?
Because defund the police.
Yeah,
because Black Lives Matter. Because
we're going to get a cop
Tim Walz in Minnesota. But we're going to show you we got cops and we love America. And then it just didn't. And which kind of reinforced the belief that,
guess what?
There's an awful lot of people in this party that are the big players in this party. Foot soldiers, but the lieutenants, okay, and sergeants, they're not on board with this big go USA, go sheriffs, law enforcement, we love America message. That was not hitting with them. The biggest crowd reaction of the night was when she talked about Palestine.
Yep.
It was by far the biggest. Anyway, we'll get to this throughout the show, but that was our sense in the auditorium of what actually happened. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News.
So I know sometimes people think, I'll just sell the home myself, or I'll just buy it myself, and they don't want to use a realtor. I understand, okay? But let me give you some thoughts about why maybe it's useful to go to a realtor, especially one as great as Christina Leavenworth, okay? Obviously, you know that she sells a lot of homes, 175 homes last year. You hear me talking about her all the time. When the market was hot, and it was very easy to sell homes, she could help you by getting the best possible deal as quickly as possible. When the market is slow, more like it is now, when people are uncertain about interest rates or when they're not sure what's going to happen with that market or the economy or the election or anything else, or, you know, what affects the price of the home? Is it change of station for the military? Are we in season or not for that? What about for, you know, school, things like that? And even understanding, what could happen near that home, behind that home, or even with a new home, you might think, why would I use a realtor for that? Because they can get the builder to buy down your points, for example, and work with you because builders are motivated. The point is, having a realtor gets you the best of all possible outcomes. And Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are phenomenal. 723-9158 or look her up online, Christina Leavenworth.
This is the story of the one. As a facility technician installing a new welding station, he knows getting the ventilation right is critical for safety. That's why when questions arise, there's Grainger. Grainger offers detailed technical product information online at his fingertips, so it's easy to find what he needs. Because when it comes to safety, having answers means he and his people can breathe a little easier. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sonny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sonny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
There's some speculation that independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy could be at former President Trump's rally in Arizona today. According to Trump's campaign, he'll be joined by a special guest during his rally in the Phoenix suburb of Glendale. There's reports that Kennedy is considering dropping out of the race and endorsing Trump. And both the U.S. and Canadian economies could be affected by the railroad shutdown in Canada. Railway companies, Canadian National and Canadian Pacific, locked out about 10,000 Teamsters employees after labor contract negotiations broke down this week.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Vice President Harris makes her case that voters should promote her to president, closing out the Democrats' convention in Chicago.
I promise to be a president for all Americans. You can always trust me to put country above party and self.
She calls former President Trump an unserious man, but the consequences of electing him, she says, are extremely serious. Trump on Fox after the speech.
All of these things that she talked about, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do everything, but she didn't do any of it. She could have done it 3.5 years ago.
He campaigns in Nevada and Arizona today. It's announced there will be a special guest at that second event in Glendale, and there's speculation it could be independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He's filed paperwork to take his name off the ballot in Arizona and says he'll announce his plans going forward during his speech in Phoenix. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. Absolutely beautiful morning. Nice and cool out there. 73 degrees right now in Pensacola. Well, big news yesterday from Pensacola Police. The new substation on the north end of town is open.
Yeah, so that's the most northern part, or for the officers know it as Beat 1, which is the farthest away from the police headquarters that you can be in the city limits. So now we have a place to, for the officers to go to do the things they would normally do at the headquarters. They can do it now up there on the north end and not be able not leave their patrol areas.
PPD spokesman Mike Wood there. The substation is located at Pensacola State College. Now, this is not something that's open to the public or somewhere you would go to report a crime. Rather, it's a small office for the on-duty officers to fill out paperwork, upload body cam footage, or take a break while they're on duty so they don't have to drive all the way across town. Florida's final disaster preparedness sales tax holiday for the 2024 Atlantic hurricane season kicks off tomorrow.
We are entering the peak weeks of hurricane season. They are upon us.
Florida's Emergency Management Director Kevin Guthrie says now is the time to prepare. Residents can buy important items like carbon monoxide detectors, pet supplies, tarps, batteries, generators, flashlights, all tax-free from Saturday until September 6th. The hurricane season ends on November 30th. Well, there is a new launch date for a SpaceX mission designed to advance the future of spaceflight. The company shared a post on X Thursday saying they were delaying the liftoff of the Polaris Dawn launch by one day in order to allow for some more pre-flight checkups. That means if everything does go as planned, the private crewed launch will take place at the Kennedy Space Center on Tuesday, August 27th. The group of trained specialists are expected to attempt the first ever commercial spacewalk. Now, a search underway to find a federal detainee who escaped from a center in Miami-Dade County. Nestor Iglesias with Homeland Security says the detainee somehow got away from the Chrome North Service Processing Center on Wednesday night. Now, that is a federal immigration detention facility for those awaiting deportation. ICE is involved in the search, as are Miami-Dade Police and FHP. Right now, there is still no word on exactly how that detainee was able to escape. The investigation also still continuing here in Escambia County after an ATM heist yesterday morning at the Quick Fill on Blue Angel and Lillian Highway. Officials say three suspects crashed through the store's front doors with a stolen pickup truck, then ran inside wearing gloves and a mask to steal the ATM. The truck was found on Lillian Highway. So far, no suspects have been identified. The investigation into the incident is still ongoing, and if you have any information, you should contact the Escambia County Sheriff's Office or call Crime Stoppers. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful day for this Friday. Temperatures warming up into the upper 80s and low 90s, high near 89 degrees. 30% chance of rain overnight tonight. Temperatures dropping near 77. For Saturday, similar forecast with mostly sunny skies. Small chance of a stray shower, 30% overall. High near 89, low near 78. Stay connected at Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. It's 73 now in Pensacola, also 73 in Gulf Breeze, 71 in Milton. Our next news at 6 o'clock. We have breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Now let's get a look at our market report for this morning.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The FDA has approved updated COVID-19 vaccines from Pfizer and Moderna for the 2024 fall season, allowing for earlier distribution than last year. The new shots are meant to target the KP2 variant. The CDC recommends all Americans ages 6 months and older to get the shot to prepare for the expected surge of the virus this fall and winter. Figures Baidu reported showed the number of robo-taxi rides operated publicly grew by 26% year-over-year in the first half of the year. That's down sharply from year-over-year growth of 184% in the first half of 2023. With growth above 20%, the increase in robo-taxi rides is still faster than that of ride-hailing, but at a far smaller scale. Futures are slightly higher, with all markets awaiting Jerome Powell's remarks today at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Thursday, the Dow Industrials lost 177 and the S&P 500 down 50. That's your money now.
You've got a Pepto predicament, Beach Bum.
Hey, we're heading down to the beach. You coming?
Yeah, Dad. You coming?
I had a little too much to eat at the resort buffet. I need a minute.
Oh, you overdid it. And now your beach vacation is giving you belly waves. Undo it with Pepto.
When you have nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea.
Pepto Chewables provide fast 5-symptom relief so you can get back to making memories.
Let's go, Dad.
When you overdo it, undo it with Pepto. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Join the thousands of recyclers who strive to eliminate recycling contamination every day by following the Core Four. The Core Four includes glass containers, plastics 1 and 2, cardboard and mixed paper, and metal cans. Remember, if you're not sure if an item can be recycled, think, when in doubt, throw it out and put it in your garbage can instead of recycling. Visit ecua.fl.gov for more information. That's ecua.fl.gov. And thank you for being ECUA's recycling partner.
So I always say that Frontier Motors has been serving the Pensacola community, and if you didn't know me, you might think I just use words lightly, but I really don't. I mean, as a philosopher, I use words very deliberately and mean the words that I use. And so when I say they serve, I mean that. For example, if you go to Frontier, when you look at a car, you're going to get a price sheet and you're going to get a Carfax. And a Carfax is a great resource. It's not the end-all, be-all of everything about the maintenance and service history for the car, because it kind of depends on voluntary reporting. That's why I recommend you get a good used vehicle inspection from a mechanic you trust. But you get it from Frontier, but if you don't go to Frontier, like you go to, you know, Jim Bob's corner lot somewhere and you're going to buy a car and they don't give you a Carfax, or like off of, you know, Facebook Marketplace or something, no problem. Take the VIN, give it to Frontier. Frontier will run a Carfax for you for free. Why? Because they can, because it helps, because it's nice, because it's being a good neighbor, because why not? And so when I say that they have been serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, I mean that.
It's that time of year again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before a storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
The cars are moving like a half a mile an hour, and I started staring at the passengers and waving goodbye. Can you tell me what was ever really special about me all this time? But I believe the world is burning to the ground.
love that song, John. That's good. Happy man, you're on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew K. It's Pensacola Morning News. We are in Chicago for the, I almost said Milwaukee, in Chicago for the last day of the BNC week. I'll be going home later on today. But yesterday we had a really interesting opportunity to connect with a friend, somebody who I've known as long as, almost as long, I think, as we've lived here, Jewel Canada Wynn. She was a former city council member, and, you know, she's no longer on council, but she's been a teacher, and she is an elected delegate or a representative for Escambia County Democratic Party to the DNC. So she was here in Chicago, and I had been wanting to get her on the line. We finally got her on yesterday. Now, this was before the Kamala Harris speech last night. I did not get a chance to connect with her after that. But still, her perspective on the convention as a Democrat, as a, you know, an elector, was obviously very different from mine. But I wanted to give you a chance to hear this, because talking to her yesterday was very interesting. Jewel, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Hey. I am in the stairwell. That is the only quiet spot this morning.
We're at our table in the Airbnb, and you're in the stairwell. I love it. That's fantastic. So, hey, let's just start with this. You know, obviously, I'm a conservative Republican, so I'm watching the DNC as an outsider a little bit. What's it been like for you as a member, as an elector, as an insider?
Oh, it has been wonderful. It has been electric. You know, this is my first time here, so to be around, you know, 5,000 or more Democrats, it's wonderful. It feels great.
Well, I wanted to, you know, we'll talk about some of the speeches and that stuff in a second, but one of the things that we don't have the ability to go to is all of the Demapalooza training and information sessions that are going on, I think, at McCormick Center. Have you had a chance to go to any of those? They actually look very interesting to me, just as a, you know,
they
instructional kind of concept.
I went to the Democratic Black Caucus one, which focused on get out the vote and, of course, misinformation. So that was an excellent one. I'm going to try to go to a couple of today, so that the disability one, there's that one of the women, so I'm going to try to make that one. But it is exhausted. I mean, you're up at 6, and you have to be downstairs at 6:30 to pick up your credentials. You don't get to bed until 1 o'clock. So this is boot camp.
Yeah, and that's and that's honestly, that's what we've been talking about is, you know, look, I have loads of criticism for what's being said from the podium, from the stage. But one of the things I really admire about the way the DNC is organized is there is a deliberate effort to rally and pep talk at the night sessions and educate and train and equip people that when they go back to their communities, they can be effective at getting out the vote and persuading people in the day sessions. Right.
Yes, and that's exactly what has happened. It has been very informative. And not only that, during breakfast, we have training sessions and speakers there at the breakfast as well. So it is nonstop.
Yeah, no, long schedule. One thing we had a chance to do a little bit at the RNC in Milwaukee, and we just have not, it's just we haven't done it here, is to go to the night events. Our perception of Milwaukee at the RNC was it was a lot of partying, a lot of drinking, a lot of having fun, a lot of, you know, it's like a cruise. Has it been like that at night? Have you had that same kind of atmosphere fun-wise?
No. Well, we have after parties.
Yeah.
We have after parties, but I'm too old for that. By the time I get home at 11:30, get here at 11:30, shower and everything, it's 1 o'clock. I can't be up at 2 o'clock talking about partying and having a little nip and then got to get up by 6:30 in the morning. No. No.
Do some of your fellow delegates who are, let's just say, younger on the activity schedule, do they seem a little bit worse for wear early in the morning?
Well, yes, they do, because it's a party, but I have found that most of the group with us, we're in the Palmer House, and so our Florida delegation, we are really focused. We're really tuned in to getting as much knowledge as we possibly can get to go and take it back home to help with the guest vote.
Yeah, very business. I appreciate that. Are they, again, I just know our experience at the in Milwaukee was that not just the partying and the drink, but the food was amazing for the delegates. Have you guys been fed well?
Oh, we've been fed well. The National Democratic Party, the Democratic National Convention, all of them, the Florida Democratic Party, have really been excellent. We have had excellent service. from them, excellent welcome, and continues throughout the event.
So I want to talk to you a little bit about the speakers and, of course, the nominee. I cannot remember whether when we had you on the wrap recently, whether it had already been announced that Biden was going to withdraw and Kamala Harris was going to be the nominee. So I wanted to give you a chance to talk about how you reacted to that news originally when it came out.
Originally, I cried. I understood it. I knew that I would accept it. I knew that it had to be the choice of President Biden, whether or not he wanted to step down. I love President Biden. He has been a very good, very good transitional president. But yet the baton was passed, and I'm excited about that baton passing, and I am ready to go. And my group, we are ecstatic, and we're ready to continue to work hard for the last 77 days or 78 days, whichever one it is.
So for you, it was really hard news. Was it? I've talked to other people who, they were really relieved because they were worried that President Trump was going to win. Even Michelle Obama seemed very much to have this sort of resurrection mindset that the hopes of the party in November had come back to life and she had hope again with Kamala Harris. Do you feel that way or do you feel a different way?
No, I feel that way now. I really do. President Biden, there were issues. I love President Biden, but we had to energize because we can't go back to Donald. We cannot go back to Donald Trump. So we had to energize, and we had to be re-energized. And that decision, the courageous decision alone, when you look at a politician, regardless of what party they are from or support, that decision is a hard decision from any candidate to know when it's time to go. And if we had that type of mentality, that President Biden, that type of courage in Congress now, we would probably have a better working bipartisan Congress so that we can focus more on issues of the American people instead of partisanship politics.
You know, it's interesting you say that because there's a lot of Republicans who are also frustrated about people who stay and for 30 and 40 years in Congress and should really long ago have left and let some younger folks take over and build a different kind of dynamic in Washington, D.C. Jewel, obviously, I'm a Republican, I'm a conservative, I'm watching this somewhat as an outsider, but one of the things that that I have noticed is when I watch, for example, the Obamas, Barack Obama did well. His problem was that he came after his wife, who was the absolute best speech in both conventions so far, from my opinion. And then even yesterday when Oprah Winfrey spoke, I thought she did an incredibly effective job of doing what she's supposed to do. But I was thinking the whole time, look, if Michelle Obama ran for president, she would get elected 70-30. Is there any sense among you or your fellow delegates of wish you could have, or wish, she would have been somebody that could have run?
Oh, no, never, because she has always made that clear, never. But I just want to go back to President Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama. So we have to remember what the assignment was for those two. And so she came out, and I knew when she came out with her ponytail and her sister look on her face, I knew what her assignment was. Her assignment was to talk to the voter, to talk to women, to talk to us, to motivate us toward getting out, not giving up on our issues, and kind of motivating so that we can continue. It looked good at the convention. It looks good to be yelling and screaming, but there's more work to do. And so you have to remember the assignment was not the same for those two. I mean, she had an excellent quote. I loved it when she says, "Who's going to tell him that the jobs he's currently seeking might just be one of those black jobs?"
Mm-hmm.
So she was an excellent speaker, but we needed to know that those two had a different assignment. She had an assignment to do, and President Obama had an assignment to do.
You said it kind of in passing, and I'm going to be super white here for just a second. You said she had on her sister look. What does that mean?
Yes, she had on her sister look. For African-American women, we know that if we give you the look, it's just like moms. Kids know kids know when their parent gives them a look, it's time for us, for them to correct us, to send us in a direction that we need to go. And so she's going to send us in a direction like, let's do something. Let's do something. Just not talk about it. Just not wait for someone else to call you and tell you they need help or anything. You need to get up and get out there and start working towards the success of the Kamala Harris campaign.
Hey, last question for you, Jewel. By the way, thank you so much for the time this morning. I appreciate it. We have noticed that there is an intense focus on President Trump, a very strong criticism of him, portraying him as, you know, dark, dangerous, weird, all of the negative things. It seems to me like there's a contradiction between the calls for unity and building the bridges and coming together as a country with the simultaneous message of that guy's evil, horrible, terrible, and awful. Do you feel like there's a tension in those messages, or do you feel like the way it's being talked about is appropriate?
I think it's been appropriate. When anyone continuously, when they open their mouth and everything is always negative, when they open their mouth about America, the United States, that I spent 20 years as a veteran, standing up for my country and working for my country, going to talk about we are not the greatest nation in the world. We on our laughing stocks in the world. We don't have any of that. So, no, I don't think it's inappropriate at all. We need to call it out for what it is. And people tend to rationalize behavior. Oh, it's okay. It's just Donald Trump, and that's how he's going to do. When he attacks you on a negative level, you can be professionally and call him out for inappropriate things that does not represent presidential behavior.
Hey, I did say last one, but I did have one other. I apologize. I sort of lied to you there or changed my mind. The other thing we've noticed a lot of is the attacking of Project 2025, the Heritage Foundation thing. And what I keep saying is President Trump has repudiated that. He does not believe that. He doesn't stand for that. That's not his policy, and it's not the platform of the Republican Party. But clearly the leaders in the DNC have decided that the strategy is to portray him as being that thing. What's your belief? Do you believe that President Trump is not Project 2025, or do you believe that he, like, secretly is, and this is all some lie or charade by him?
He continues to lie. You can only go by a person by what they say. You go by what they do. You go by what they say. President Trump continues to lie. You cannot trust a liar. When you go and pick a J.D. Vance as your vice presidential pick, who supports those concepts as well, you can't detach that from your throne and your side just suddenly because it's not politically correct for you. You've already got in bed with it. You already know, open the book for it. And so now we're going to call you out for this behavior. We don't have a president that tells the truth. We have a president, a former president, that lies, that continues to lie, that continues to do misinformation, including the Republican Party. They support lies. They twist everything. And so, again, you're asking the American people, oh, this is really not, you know, he's telling us the truth. He's not, no. We go about 4 years. He's been running for this office, you know, for his 4 years, 8 years, the entire time. He has lied. We have proof that he lied. We tried to correct this misinformation that he puts out, but once you put out the misinformation, it's like a battle to get rid of it. So I believe that he accepts Project 2025. It is not politically correct for him to say he's a part of 2025 because he wants to win the office, and when he gets in office, then he will implement 2025. You already
all right, well,
some of that is blowing.
Well, you and I completely disagree about that assessment, but that's why I wanted to ask you, because I was kind of curious where you're at. Jewel Canada Wynn, she is a former city councilwoman, former teacher, and a Escambia County delegate for the Democrat Party. Jewel, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for sharing your honest views.
I
know you are.
Thank you always for reaching out. You know, you have a
absolutely
wonderful day, and have a wonderful day,
Pensacola. All right. Thanks. We'll talk to you again soon. So that was our interview yesterday with Jewel Canada Wynn. And, you know, just one note. I know that probably some of you who might have heard that either yesterday or heard it again this morning might be thinking, Andrew, why didn't you defend Trump? You know, why didn't you fight with her? That wasn't the point of the interview. You know, you heard me bring up my perspectives that were different from hers. That just wasn't the purpose of the interview. The purpose of that interview, just like the purpose of, you notice when I'm talking with the protesters out at the rally, you know, I'm not there to argue with them. I'm there to let them have their say and try to listen and learn a little bit and get a perspective. Because, you know, what I wanted to hear from Jewel is I wanted to hear from a delegate what she thought of what was going on in the convention, you know, her perspective on it. Not fight about whether she thinks Trump's a liar. I mean, of course. I mean, I think Trump's a liar, you know? That's not the issue. The issue is, what about other people's lies? Or, you know, so anyway, I could tell when some of the texts were coming in yesterday, like, why don't you fight with her? Like, well, you know, that's not the purpose of this exactly. Sometimes you just listen, you know? This is actually, oh man, I have a much bigger point I make about this, but if you need to always be fighting for what you believe with somebody and making a debate out of it, it means that you're still not really sure of what you believe. Because you still, like, it's only true if you continue to prove it. Like, you're performing the thing in order to make it true. True is true regardless of whether you perform it or argue for it. And that's why sometimes the things you know the best are the things where you can be like, well, they're just wrong and I don't have to say anything. It still just is. 5:56 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
When I say brand names like BMW, Porsche, Mercedes-Benz, Audi, Genesis, Jaguar, Lexus, you might think, hey, those are very nice cars. You spend extra to get them. They're luxury imports. You have to go to the dealership to get them serviced, right? No. In fact, there's a federal law that protects you in being able to go anywhere to get them serviced. You don't have to go to the dealership. And that means if the dealership is at a distance, like in Mobile or in Destin or something like that, you don't have to spend the money on the gas. You don't have to spend the extra money on going to the dealership. You don't have to waste the time of driving and hoping that the bayway isn't clogged up today. Go to Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway and on US 29. That's right. They just expanded. So they are at their second location at 8969 Pensacola Boulevard, Highway 29, right across from the Super Walmart. So they have expanded out of that second place, and you can go there to get the same great service on your imports, on your domestic, on your diesel, on your gas, whatever the car is that you've got or truck. CarClinicService.com online, like a healthcare clinic for your car. Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis and now US 29.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops, and they come together here to drive growth in innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
Why service your firearms? Well, here's why. Regular cleaning and maintenance isn't just about keeping your firearm accurate. It's about ensuring they operate reliably when you need them most. When it comes to firearms, Jim's is the trusted choice. They consistently deliver top-notch service to keep your guns in peak condition. So swing by Jim's Firearms and discover why they're the industry's go-to experts. Stay safe. Stay accurate. Visit Jim's Firearms today. Located at the corner of Blue Angel and Sorrento, near the back gate of NAS, or online at jimsfirearms.net.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, mornings at 9 right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Chicago. David Wayne is in Pensacola with our headlines. David?
And good morning. There's some speculation that independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. will be at former President Trump's rally in Arizona today. According to Trump's campaign, they say he'll be joined by a special guest during his rally, which is going to be in Phoenix, in a suburb, Glendale. And they say there have been some reports that Kennedy is dropping out of the race and planning to endorse Trump. I believe he filed some paperwork to remove his name from the ballot yesterday.
Glendale's an okay place. It's nestled in the northwest of Phoenix. It's barely even a suburb. It's just a kind of, you know, it's a big metropolitan area, and Glendale's just kind of an extension of it. I've lived in Glendale for about a year, and ought to be interesting to see what comes out of that meeting. We will certainly wait to see.
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay.